in, and then sometimes you feel like you're out. Life can throw us a lot of curves. Sometimes we're ready for them, sometimes we're not. Life can last a while. Miss Richie, 107 years old. Our life can be taken away from you very quickly. Dr. Pete told us of a young boy, 11 years old, who lost his life this last week. Life can bring us happiness or great sorrow. Sometimes we just seem like we're just clicking along, and sometimes life's road is rough and rocky and just hard to travel. Sometimes we have to carry some really, really tough burdens. Heavy, heavy loads. And sometimes it seems like there are others that just go through life and seem like it's just down a freeway. Well, Solomon set out to evaluate life. Now, I'm going to tell you, this lesson is two parts, this morning and this afternoon. It's just too much to get into one lesson. And this morning is going to kind of seem like a downer. I'm going to tell you right now. Because Solomon is going to evaluate life. And in his evaluation of life, he kind of looks on the downside. He's really being very realistic. He's going to be very, very realistic. But it's you're going to leave this morning and say, boy, I went to church to be built up this morning, and I'm kind of feeling low after preacher's sermon this morning, so you got to come back tonight. Because at the end, Solomon reaches an awesome conclusion. A conclusion that all of us need so very desperately to realize. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the end of the story, and then we're going to come back and go through. But at the end of the whole thing, Solomon's conclusion is this. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Remember this. Fear God. Keep His commandments. For this is the whole of man. But until then, let's take a moment and look at what Solomon is trying to do. No man, no human man ever had the wealth, the power, the wisdom to test life like Solomon. He did his very best to find the meaning of life. His quest was to try to, for man's sake, not just for his own sake, but for man's sake, to find a avenue to happiness, really true happiness in this life. He says in Ecclesiastes 1:12-13, I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. In Ecclesiastes 1, verse 16, he said, I said to myself, I have acquired great wisdom, surpassing all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I applied my mind to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. In Ecclesiastes 7, he said, I turned my mind to know and to search out and to seek wisdom and the sum of things. I wanted to know the sum of things and to know the wickedness and the folly and the foolishness, which is madness. In Ecclesiastes 8, he says, wisdom having been my careful study, I came to observe the business that goes on here on the earth. So Solomon's experimented with his own life to try to find some essence, some meaning to who we are, what we are, why we're here, where we're going, how we can accomplish things while we're on this earth. He tried every kind of pleasure. He had the best food and drink. He had music, entertainment. He had material goods. He had great challenges. He had some of the most beautiful women in the kingdom. He searched in every aspect. Let me just let you listen to what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 1, then 3 through 10. I said to myself, come now and I'll make a test of pleasure. Enjoy yourself. I searched with my mind how to cheer my body with wine. My mind still guided me with wisdom. And how to lay hold on folly till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven during the few days of their lives. I made me great works. I built me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maids, and had servants born in my house. I also had great possession, great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered for myself silver and gold and treasures of the kings and provinces. I got me singers, both men and women, and many concubines, men's delights. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me, and whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept back nothing from them. For I withheld not my heart from any joy, from my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of labor to know. So he had it all. There are a lot of people that are trying to search for happiness just like he did, with a whole lot less. Whole lot less power, whole lot less money, and a lot less wisdom. So it might be well for us to see what Solomon found out. It might do us well to just stop for a minute and listen to this man as he searches for life. No king ever had any more personal possessions and resources than did Solomon to find happiness in this life. And yet he failed. What he found was frustration. What he found was futility. He discovered that pleasure and possessions or any endeavor on this earth cannot bring true, lasting happiness. I said lasting. It can bring us a measure of happiness. Even the Bible tells us that sin is a pleasure, but it doesn't last. And that was the whole point that Solomon tried to make. He said, but this too is vain. Mirth is madness. I reflected in what is good and what is pleasure. Ecclesiastes 2:2. He said in Ecclesiastes 2:11, then I looked on all my works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor which I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity. Useless. That word vanity means useless. I looked on it, and he said, and all of it was vanity and vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So he pursued happiness, but he found vexation. Disappointment, emptiness. And that everybody that makes that journey is going to find come to the same point. Just like the prodigal son. He took that journey. He thought he could do it. And he wound up in a hog pen. I'm telling you, people, listen to a wise man. He's been there. He's done that. With more resources than you'll ever have. Ever have. And that was his conclusion. So let's take a journey with him this morning. Let's see how Solomon discovers the vanity of life. Because Solomon's failure was not a personal one. It's going to happen to everyone that makes that journey through the avenue of things. Because just the nature of life. It's just the way it is. I told you this morning is not one of those rah, 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 and let's get going and leave here feeling good sermons. I'm telling you, because I'm telling you the truth. And it's for a reason, if you'll just hang with me and listen to what Solomon has to say. In Ecclesiastes 1, he said, I saw all the things that were done under the sun, and truly all is worthless and chasing after the wind. What was crooked couldn't be made straight, and what was lacking couldn't be counted. As he looked around in his search, one of the things he saw was he saw oppression. He saw hopeless oppression. I saw the oppression that are practiced under the sun, and behold the tears of the oppressed. He said, everywhere I looked, I saw some sadness. Somebody might be over here laughing, but there were five over here crying. Because again, that's life. And behold the tears of the oppressed, and they had no more comfort to them. On the side of their oppression, there was power, and there was no one to comfort them. Wherefore I praised the dead, which were already dead, more than the living, which were alive. Yea, better is he that than both they, which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Well, this sounds like a guy that's just really, really down on life. And that's what he said. He said, I said to myself, whatever befalls the fool befalls me too. What good is it to be wise? Because life is life, he said. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said to myself that this also is vanity. For the wise man is as of a fool, and there's no enduring remembrance. Seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. How the wise man dies, just like the fool dies. Now watch him here. Watch what he says here. So I hated life. Solomon, what are you talking about? He said, so I hated life. This is the wisest man that's ever lived. And he's so down right now. This is no question about it. This is Solomon's pity party. Because he is really down. And what he learned was, life's not fair. Life's not fair. Sometimes the very best people we know get cancer and die. Sometimes we look and we see a young life that's taken before it ever has a chance to live, and we think, why did that happen? One of the things that always comes up whenever we have like the big storms like we had or the shooting in Las Vegas or whatever, is people say, well, that just shows you there's no God. Because if there was a God, why would he let things like that happen? And Solomon is trying to tell us it's because you live in a world where there are evil people. We live in a world where there are natural disasters. This is the world we live in. And Solomon said, I had all of the money that I could ever want, and I couldn't change it, and neither can you. It's life. And when everything is said and done, life does not play fair. As we're going through these things, I'm hoping that what we're putting together when we stack these blocks on, what I'm hoping the picture that starts to emerge is, I see now why I need God. I'm hoping that that's what we're going to gather and garner from our study this morning. That without God, I'm just another ship on a turbulent sea. I'm just another speck in a cosmic world. I'm just another number among a world of figures. We got to have God. Solomon's trying to tell us that. Another thing he saw was he saw the failure of riches. You know, we know this. This is not something we don't know. Jesus said that a man's life does not consist of the abundance of things he possessed. He told us that. But Solomon said, I had it. It's not in riches. You can't buy it. You can buy a form of happiness. You can buy a form of contentment. But, you know, I hear these guys come back. I hear Mike and Huff and Kaylee and those of you that go down to Honduras. I hear you come back and tell us that these people don't have anything. One of the most impressive things that Mike Mitchell ever said to me about Honduras was about the water, when he said that the water in our commodes are cleaner and more drinkable, if you were to just drink right out of the commode, than what they have down in Honduras. They don't have nothing, man. And yet they come back and talk about how happy these people are. They've never had anything. And so they just are content with what we would call nothing. And you think, well maybe they've got the right idea. Their divorce rate is way, way, way lower than ours, because they had to scratch and claw and save and scrimp to get enough money to buy a marriage license. The church here has helped on several occasions young Christians down in Honduras that wanted to get married that didn't have the money to buy a license. I don't have nothing, man. Here we are with so much. And we just take it for granted. And we find it hard to say thank you, God, for an abundance of things that He's given us. Solomon said, it ain't in riches. Why can't we learn that, he said. In Ecclesiastes 5, verse 13 through 17, he said, there's a grievous evil which I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner to his hurt. I wonder that sometime. Riches were kept by his owner to his hurt. Does it drag us down or lift us up? Anyway, and those riches were lost in a bad venture. And he's the father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. And he came from a mother's womb, and he shall go again naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil, which he may carry away with his hand. This is also a grievous evil. Just as it came, so shall he go. And what he's gained, has he that toiled for the wind, and spent his days in darkness and grief, and much vexation, and sickness and resentment. Goes on to say, this is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and lies heavy upon man. Man to whom God gives wealth, possessions, and honor, so he lacks nothing for all that he desires, and yet God does not give him the power to enjoy them. But a stranger enjoys them. And this is vanity and sore affliction. It's not there. He learned that even righteousness, he says, there's a failure in righteousness. Now let me explain this before I even read you some of the things that he says. He's not saying you don't need to be righteous. He's not saying that at all. He's just saying that being righteous, you still got to live in this world. He's just going to go to say good things happen to bad people is what he's going to say. But here's what he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Moreover, I saw that under the sun in the place of justice, even there was wickedness. And in the place of righteousness, even there was wickedness. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 15. In my vain life I have seen everything. There is a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in evil doing. He said, I don't understand it. David said the same thing in his writings. He said, Lord, I see the wicked prosper, and I see God's people are oppressed. And David said, I almost lost my faith as a result of it. And that's what I was talking about a moment ago when the world looks and they say, well, there's just bad things happening everywhere, to anybody, everybody. And it is, and that's what Solomon said. But it's because we live in a world where sin exists. God's not happy when bad things happen. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the permissive will of God has said, I'll put the natural things in order in this world. And that's the way that it's going to be. And I'm not going to come and interfere with the natural order of things. A righteous man and a sinner are standing on top of a building and both of them fall off. God's not going to say, well, I'm going to catch the righteous, but I'm going to let the sinner be pulled by gravity down to the street below. They're both going to fall. The righteous man is going to fall just like the sinner falls, because that is an order that God has placed in this world. Gravity pulls you down. Gravity doesn't decide whether or not are you righteous or are you a sinner. Let me think. Well, since you're going to church on Sunday, you don't have to fall down this building. You can just float. It doesn't happen that way. And that's what Solomon is trying to say here. In Ecclesiastes 8 and verse 10, he said, and so I've seen wicked men carried to the tomb and praised from the holy place and lauded in the city where they acted thus. This too is wrong. He said, I see the righteous just kind of put in a hole somewhere, and a wicked man just praised to the highest heavens. In verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 8, herein is futility that goes upon the earth. There are righteous men who fare as though they are wicked, and there are wicked men who fare as though they're righteous. And I've said, I don't understand this. And join the crowd, Solomon. We don't either. And then he learned that the inevitable climax of every life is death. You're not getting out of here alive, partner. The writer of Hebrews said the same thing when he said, it is appointed a man once to die, and after this the judgment. You're not leaving this world alive. Even if the Lord comes back again, you're going to be changed. But I imagine for the most part, we're probably going to die before the Lord comes back again. So you're not getting out of here alive. Solomon just said you better get ready to die, because that's the way life is. And then finally this morning, he discovered that this world is not our home. He said in Ecclesiastes 1, verse 8, all things are full of weariness. Man cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 16, and certainly the eyes of man never rest, day or night. And in my personal observations, I've seen the same thing. You have too. Pleasure and pain, it's hard to get away from it. Now, what some people try to do is they try to escape through drugs or entertainment or pleasure or alcohol. When all is said and done, they just wake back up the next morning to the same thing. We come into this world crying. We leave amidst tears. Whatever we think we've made it, that we've arrived, then we have to struggle to keep it. The species may survive, but the individual will not. This world is not our home. Every generation has the same hopeless picture. And that's what Solomon says, a generation goes, a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it rules. The wind blows to the south and goes around to the north and round and goes the wind and its circuit and the wind returns. All the streams run into the sea and the sea's not filled. To the place where the streams flow, there they flow again. Same every generation. Ecclesiastes 7, do not say, how has it been in the former times when that were better than these? For it's not wisdom that you should ask that. We talk about the good old times. Well, the good old times wasn't all that good old. They were old, but they wasn't all that good. Been there and done that. So, let me not leave you this morning on such a downer. Because what the wisdom of Solomon reveals is the hopelessness of life on this earth. That's the reason why the greater wisdom is the gospel. That's why it's called the, watch it now, good news. The good news is there is a place where there are no tears. There is a place where the hearse does not rumble down the golden street. There is a place where you'll never grow old. And Jesus said in John 16 and verse 33, in the world we shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer because, watch this now, I have overcome the world. There you are. There's your hope. There's your strength that you can grab a hold of today and carry home with you and take to school with you tomorrow, or work, or wherever. In this world, you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus says, because I have overcome the world. That's why we can sing, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angel beckons me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. So Solomon, Solomon, Solomon. Wise, wise, wise. Why can't we listen to your wisdom and quit trying to make this world our home? Quit trying to find strength in this world. Quit trying to find happiness here. And know that if we set our hearts and our minds on things above and not on things of this earth, we have a hope. And we can live with hope. But it sure is a wonderful thing to die with. Can we help you with your ticket out of this world? Believe His great truths, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If we can help you with your relationship to get repaired and closer to the Lord, we want to do it, want to do it, happy to do it, pleading for you to let us do it. While together you become sleep.
There's a fountain free.